good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 25th January, Tuesday class. We'll be continue our sharing from this book, the wonderful Dhamma Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 172 for the hard copy. For the soft copy, you wait for Sui to pin the page. For sharing afterwards, just relax body and mind. Feel off the light so that we can have our usual half an hour of awareness based meditation. This awareness based meditation is very simple when you understand. Like the sentence says, we are here to develop awareness within. That's why awareness based meditation is. Our meditation is seated or based on developing awareness. And we have to understand what is awareness. The Buddha called it sati, but it's usually translated as mindfulness. So this word mindfulness is common within the Buddhist fraternity, especially Theravada fraternity. But this word is seldom understood. So most people didn't inquire why the English translation is such mindfulness. What does it mean? Here, the word mindfulness has two parts. First is mind, then fullness, which means mind in fullness. But when we talk about mind, it's not defined which mind, whether it's the true mind or the normal mundane mind or thinking mind. So when they coin this word, they don't understand. Well, they only know of the thinking mind. So they say when the mind is in fullness, but they didn't think of the possibility of full of what? If it's full of thought, then it's not mindfulness, it's not sati. In fullness means this mind is fully aware. And that one is awareness, mindfulness. But if you don't understand what sati is, you can't develop it. So a better way is to develop the understanding through another more accurate word, which is called awareness. When we are just aware, it is before the knowing, before the perception, before the arising of thought or the aggregate of mind. Which means the moment you are silent without thought, you are already naturally aware. So this definition and understanding is very important. If you understand this, then you know how to develop awareness-based meditation. What you need to do is, like I shared with you, the four support. The first three support for awareness-based meditation. First is to relax body and mind. When you are relaxed, you are at ease. You don't have to think. That's why I relax. Then the second support is maintain awareness. The mind that is just aware without thought. But most people find it very difficult because throughout the day when they live their life, they think a lot. They are heedless because of mental hindrance. They don't have spiritual faculties. Their mind are not trained. They lack this spiritual faculty to develop the meditative mind of inner calmness, inner awareness, or inner mindfulness. So because of that, they have this problem. So when they have this problem, most people who don't have the understanding, they will try to calm the mind down. That's why they come up with a method, technique to anchor the mind. then they focus, they concentrate, so that the mind does not wander off and think. All these are skillful means to train the mind. But when you have the understanding, you don't have to go through all those things. You just relax, maintain awareness, don't think. Whatever arises, let it arise. Thought arise, let it arise. Whatever consciousness that arises from the sense basis, aware, finish. No need to follow. No need to create response or thinking. No need to stir your mind. No need to create proliferation of thought. So you can do that, relax and maintain awareness. Then you can develop this awareness-based meditation. Then the mind will slow down. Whatever thought process or thinking, they will slow down. Then it will settle down and return to its original state before the thinking, before the stirring. And that is your true mind. That is the silent mind. And to develop this awareness-based meditation is to just to go back to this true mind, to experience the silent mind, the true awareness within, the silent within. Then the third support is to stabilize this awareness. So relax, maintain awareness. The third support is maintain the awareness for as long as you can. Then allow it to stabilize, settle down. When this awareness stabilizes and settle down, you can realize your true mind with clarity, with stability and understanding. Then you can see a lot of things. You can observe a lot of things where the awareness has the ability. The awareness is capable of observation without the interference from the thought process, the thinking, or the memory, which are your views, opinion, and conditioning, belief system, whatever mind state that you have accumulated or deposited, your experiences, good and bad. This is what memory is all about. And through memory, thought arise. Your thought is respond to all this memory. That's how one becomes heedless. That's how one thinks a lot. But if you relax and maintain awareness, the thought cannot arise. Your mind is most of the time quiet, silent, still. That's how you can experience the true mind, whose characteristic is very simple. The true mind is very quiet, very peaceful, very tranquil, still, because it's just aware. It doesn't think. It doesn't create duality. It doesn't stir. It is just the awareness nature. So stabilize it. Then you will develop a lot of understanding. Then you can meditate. That this awareness is capable of direct seeing, awakening, or it can insight into phenomena. It can awaken to the universal characteristics of all phenomena that arise within the conditioned world. Then you are also came to great understanding that that nature, which is beyond the thinking mind, is the one that is responsible for the arising of the thought process. That's why the mundane mind, the thinking mind, is dependent originating, because dependent on our sense basis, we receive sense data. Then the sense basis together, the sense data and our consciousness, which is the true mind, the awareness, when they come into contact, it can trigger off the conscious pure mind or the pure consciousness. Yeah. So the pure consciousness initially, before the content of consciousness go in, your views, opinion, and conditioning, and belief system, or wisdom, before it goes in, it is still the pure consciousness or pure perception. Then when that thing goes in, the content of consciousness, it becomes a thought. That's why you can see. Then you will come to realize the thinking and the thought, they arise very fast from that nature because of our form and mind. And that is self-knowledge. That is understanding clearly who we are, what we are, and how we function as a human being, and how the law of dependent origination comes about. So all this is meditation. The first two ascetic practices deal with clothing. The next five deal with the most important human activity, eating. So number three, they change the word to collecting alms food. Now I understand why. Under the soft copy, they didn't update because they put their begging for food. Last time I already commented, the Buddha never introduced begging. The Buddha introduced this, what they call monks' synergy to develop cultivation so that it will benefit both the ladies, the people who make the offering, and the monks that receive the offering. Because monk has to develop the virtue, the wisdom, and the understanding so that they are worthy of offerings. So we call this Pindapata in Pali. Pindapata means to go for alms round, to create condition for people to make offering to the Sangha or to the Bhikkhu. And if you want to include the Bhikkhunis, you can, because these are people who has renounced the world, who has actually taken refuge. Then they have gone forth to spend full time cultivating. And the Buddha introduced this culture of what we call practice of alms round or Pindapata is to develop synergy. Synergy in the sense that the monk can have more time to cultivate. They don't have to worry about preparing their meals and all those things, plant their food or go about buying all these things and develop the preparation, cooking and all those things. So if you do all this, it will take up quite a lot of your time. So what the Buddha has introduced is the synergy that become very beautiful. Either monks or the bhikkhunis, they have cultivated well, practiced well, they are worthy of offerings, worthy of alms. So if you make offering or alms to virtuous people, it's very wholesome. The merits, the wholesomeness are limitless, especially if well practiced monks and nuns, the Aryas, the enlightened one. And because of that, it creates condition for normal lay people, or they call householder, to have condition to make offering to well-practice bhikkhus and bhikkhunis. So this synergy is very meaningful and very beautiful. So that's why they realized the mistake. They changed the word alms food, collecting alms food instead of begging for food. Okay, so if you look at the soft copy, it's begging for food, so that one wrong. So I will read from the text, which is the correct version. Collecting alms food. So I was looking, I said, how come the word begging and this hard copy different? And then I recall, I commented before a long time ago, it's not begging. The monk don't go and beg for foods. They go for pindapata. It's a training. And they create synergy condition for householder and lay people to develop this wholesomeness. And this can actually bring for a lot of goodness, a lot of wholesomeness. It's a blessing for all. Okay, I will read on. Collecting alms round. Sometimes this practice is given as always collecting alms food. Always does not mean all day long. For then one would have more food than one could eat. Rather, it means every day in the morning, the bhikkhu goes to collect alms for their midday meal. They do not cook their food, their own food. In countries such as Burma and Ceylon or Sri Lanka, the donor will prepare an extra bowl of food as an offering to the Tripajan. They offer it to the first bhikkhu who passes by their home. On his alms round, they kneel respectfully, holding the bowl over their heads, pouring the content into the bhikkhu's bowl, and then bow three times. Number four, asking for alms consecutively. So this one is a tradition, the practice. One begs, again they use the word beg. Actually one goes for alms from house to house, paying no attention to whether families are rich or poor. In the Sarangama Sutra, we read, at that time Ananda took up his alms bowl, and as he traveled through the city, received alms in sequential order. As he set out to receive alms from the first to the last donors, his vegetarian host, he thought not to question whether they are pure or impure, whether they are Kshatriyas of honorable name, means their caste system, based on caste system, the Kshatriyas are the highest, then all Chandalas, low caste. While practicing equality and compassion, he would not discriminate against the lowly, but was determined to protect all beings, limitless merits and virtue. The practice of asking for alms consecutively helps rid one of discrimination and allow one to give all living beings an equal opportunity to plant blessings, regardless of whether they are rich or poor, is an act of great unselfishness. Then number five is eating only one meal a day at midday. Actually, it should be before noon. In the morning and evening, one does not eat. One eats only one meal per day, and that is taken before noon. This is an excellent practice, but unfortunately, it's not an easy one. Why? Well, it is said people take food as their foundation. Everybody likes to eat. Human beings are born with a desire for food. And whenever they get the slightest bit hungry, want to eat something. This usually happens at morning and evening as well as at lunchtime. Eating once a day saves a lot of trouble. Cutting out two meals a day, one spends less time on the toilet. It would be impossible to enumerate in full all the virtues derived from the practice of eating only once a day. In general, if you eat a little less, you will have a little less trouble. If you eat too much, you will have more trouble. Whenever bhikkhu eat, they must observe 3 recollections and 5 contemplation. The 3 recollections are, they vow to cut off all evil. They vow to cultivate all goodness. They vow to save all living beings. This is actually the 3 sets of pure precepts. But the 3 sets of pure precepts, they elaborated a bit more than this. The first one is, they vow to cut off all evil, including understand what constitutes evil. As I, number 2 was the same, they vow to cultivate all wholesomeness until they realize the perfection of them all. Then lastly is, they vow to save the limitless living being and take them all across. So all these are very important. Okay, you vow to cause all living beings to live suffering and find happiness. Then the 5 contemplation are, consider the amount of work involved in preparing the food. You should reflect, how much human labor is involved in preparing the food. Take for example the rice. It has to be planted, tended and harvested. Although today we use machine, people formerly had to grind it and remove the husk. Then it has to be cooked and served. A lot of effort went into every single grain. The ancient had a verse, as he holds the grain in the mid-sun, the farmer's sweat fall into the earth. Who would have guessed how much toil went into every single grain on the plate? So the people of all nations should take care not to waste material goods or casually throw things away. One should consider the difficulties involved in making and distributing goods. The reason that some countries are now stricken with famine is because in the past they were wasteful. Those who believe in Buddhism should be particularly careful in matters of cause and effect and always be thrifty. Use what you can and give what is left over to others. Don't throw things away, it is said. If there is rice wasted in the house, there will be hungry people on the street. If you waste food, it is as if you were taking it from the mouth of others. If you have more than you can eat, give it to those who have nothing to eat. Don't waste it. So the first of the 5 contemplation is to consider the amount of work involved in getting the food to the table. So this one are the reflection that the bhikkhus do. Then number 2 is reflect on whether or not one's virtue and conduct is sufficient to entitle one to receive this offering. This one is very important. You have to reflect, are you worthy of this offering? Means, have you really cultivated, developed the virtue, the understanding and the cultivation. Think it over. What virtuous practice have you done to entitle you to receive offerings from the 10 directions? Is your merit sufficient or is it lacking? If it's lacking, you should hurry and cultivate the way. So this is a good reminder. Do not be lazy. Then number 3, guard the mind from transgression committed mainly through greed. Avoid the offenses created primarily through greed, hatred, and delusion. Don't greedily gobble down the good food and leave the bad food sitting there. Look on all the food as the same and do not discriminate among the good and the bad flavors. Then number four, regard the food as medicine to prevent the body from collapsing. When he eats, the bhikkhu should think of his food as medicine. Why am I eating? I am actually taking medicine because I don't eat, I will waste away and die. Actually, a better way of reflecting it is like what we did at the retreat. At the retreat, although we are the people going through the 9 days, what we call meditation retreats, we also observe the basic 5 or 8 precepts. Then some also keep the 8 precept. They also eat 1 meal a day. After that, no more solid food. Then there are some who takes the 3 meals, but because of necessity, that's why they take them. Then normally we will reflect on the food. So normally when we reflect, we rejoice in the generosity of those who have made this food possible, all those who donated and all those who helped in the cooking, preparation and the offerings and all those things. So we rejoice in their wholesomeness and we invoke power of merits for their well-being. Then we reflect, this food we take is not for craving or developing desire, but to sustain this body so that it can have the energy and the help to help us to develop our practice, our cultivation. Then we will invoke all this wholesomeness for the well-being of all these people who has made this food possible. That's why we rejoice and we invoke power more by the power of this wholesomeness. May give rise to causes and conditions for them to realize the Dhamma way, for them to realize their good and noble wishes. Then may all beings be well and happy. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. So in this way, when we reflect, we will not indulge in food. We will not develop unnecessary delusion or craving. We take this food just to sustain our body so that it can allow us to have the causes and conditions to develop the practice and the cultivation. Then we can develop the joy and all this thing. Okay, number five. Take this food only in order to accomplish the way. Yeah, this one is part of the thing that I mentioned. I eat only because I want to work hard and cultivate the way. If I don't eat, I won't be able to stand up or sit properly. I could still sleep, but that can't be considered as cultivation. Since I want to cultivate, I can't avoid eating. But I do so only because I want to cultivate. So this is Shen Huang's way of putting it. Bhikkhu must always observe these 3 recollection and 5 contemplation when they eat. There are great many advantages to be gained by eating 1 meal a day. That one is obvious. But the other thing that they should include is when you go for alms round, you must be mindful, aware, every step, every turn, every bending, stretching, turning. Maintain awareness. Be heedful. And when you slow down to eat, you have to be mindful too, and you have to be aware of your physical, how much food you need. Do not overeat, and do not starve yourself unnecessarily, unless there is condition like nobody make offering to you that day, so you have no choice. So a lot of bhikkhus or monks I was told, they actually accepted it because it's part of their coming, or what we call the virtue that they accumulated. If they don't have enough virtue, they may not receive much alms or offerings of food. So I came to know one Western monk, I think Ajahn Chah tradition. He told me, he said, "Theo," he said, "do you know, throughout my, that time he was ordained for 16 over years, throughout my 16 over years of monkhood, there were only 2 days, 2 occasions, I didn't receive any alms. I didn't receive any food. But I understand, that's why he was able to endure and go through it, because condition is such. But later on, when he became famous, he was a very well-practiced monk. He developed a lot of virtue, understanding, and his Dhamma was very good. He can even speak Thai. He is a European, I think Italian. Or you all call sometimes Masale. But he is very good, and the Thai people complimented. I witnessed them. They said, "This Ajahn, he speaks Thai better than Thai people. His Dhamma expression of Thai is so beautiful. They like to listen to him." So this is the parami that people have. So if you have faith, if you intend to go this way, you must have enough parami. And a lot of this come from your past. If you have been frequent offering of food, or helping people, offering generosity, dana, and all things, you will receive food. Food will be there. You will not face famine, lack of food, and all these things. That's why take care of karma. Karma will take care of your life. So we have seen a lot of things happening over the past 70 years, 60 or 70 years. We went through a lot, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000, 2010, now 2020, going into 2030. Every decade, there are so many things happening. We have experienced economic crisis, nature's disaster, like earthquake, tsunami, forest fire, and flood, and also pandemic recently. Then in between, we experience a lot of things, especially war-torn country, riots, civil war. And there are many other things. So if you don't have the good karma, the good condition, you may be born in these places, or you will happen to be in those circumstances and condition to experience all this major disaster and problem. And like it or not, most people are hit, especially economic crisis. Financial market, then recession, then of course war, riots, civil war, conflict. A lot of these things we are witnessing, and because of technology, the social media, now you can see a lot of these things happening almost every day. Even Malaysia as a country, we seldom have problems. Recently, we not only had the pandemic, we also had the major flood. That's why it has caused a lot of what they call suffering and misery to many people who are affected. But you have the good karma, you can actually avoid all this. And we also went through the currency crisis, the financial crisis, then the ASEAN crisis. Then we also affected by the Great Depression, what they call 2008-2009, the US mortgage crisis and all this thing. But if you have the good karma, you will not be affected. That's why you have to have faith in the Buddha's teaching, in understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. So all these are very useful, very important understanding. Okay, I'll move on. Number 6, eating a fixed and moderate amount of food. This is the 4th of the 5 ascetic practices dealing with food. A moderate amount means that just because the food is good, you don't call yourself with it. Eating a fixed amount means that you eat the same amount every day. For example, every day you eat exactly 2 bowls of food, whether the food is tasty or not. You won't eat only 1 bowl of that food one day and the next day. When the menu has improved, you eat 3 bowls. Those who cultivate ascetic practices should reduce the amount of food they consume. If they can eat 2 bowls, then they should eat 1.5. Then number 7, not drinking juice afternoon. After midday, one does not drink milk, juice, or other nourishing liquid. It's a very difficult practice because even tea is prohibited. So those who like tea, they find it not easy because you drink to quench your thirst and you need water, you need fluid. So anyway, the cultivation depends on understanding. You don't go and deliberately create a problem for your own physical. Those are the 5 that deal with food. I have a small announcement. We will be holding a Zen session here in a few days. And during that time, the lectures on the sutta will temporarily be discontinued and instructional talks on Zen meditation will be given each day. Those of you who like to meditate can join the session. Others who prefer to work can continue to work and just come to sit and listen to lectures in your spare time. So that was the announcement by Master Shen Hua at that time, maybe for their own need. Next are the 5 which deal with dwellings. Dwelling in an Aranya. Aranya is a Sanskrit word that means a still and quiet place. The noise of the bustling city does not reach one who dwells deep in the mountain groves in an Aranga or Aranya. It is therefore an excellent place to cultivate. Dwelling beneath a tree, dwelling in an Aranya, one still have a fixed place in which one dwells. Why would one want to live at the base of a tree. Cultivator takes the earth and sky as their cottage and the four sea as their home. They dwell wherever they happen to be, dwelling at the base of a tree, one avoid the rain, and it's a very refreshing. It's also very refreshing as well. However, one may only dwell for 2 nights beneath any one tree. On the third day, one has to find another tree. Bhikkhu who genuinely cultivate and who are lofty and pure in their practice wish to avoid recognition and offering. After spending 2 nights in a place, they leave. No one can find them and no entanglements develop. Then number 10, dwelling in the open. Dwelling beneath a tree, one is still protected from the wind and rain by the leaves and branches. Dwelling in the open, one truly takes the earth and sky as one's home or house. Living in this way, one is very natural and free. One bathes in the light of the moon and star, it is said. When the moon arises at the center of the sky and the wind blows across the surface of the water, there is a kind of clear, special flavor. Guess how few have tasted it. So this is the poem. Huh? Very few people have any idea how wonderful such a lifestyle is. Yoga, they call it the ascetic practices or the Dutanga way. You will be experiencing a lot of this. Then number 11, dwelling in a graveyard. This one are for the brave one, those who dare. But monks, they are prepared for such practice. You sleep with the dead, means the dead corpse, sit in the graveyard and enjoy a camaraderie with the ghosts. What for? In order to contemplate impermanence and understand the ephemeral nature of human life. Sooner or later, we are all going to die. After we die, we decompose into a heap of bleached-out bones in the grave. Cultivating at the graveyard, you awaken to the doctrine that all is impermanent, and you will be able to relinquish your attachment and will not become involved in the workings of greed, hatred, and delusion. In fact, under Kayana Upasana, there is one last category of cultivation which the Buddha recommended, the 9 stages of cemetery decomposition of the dead corpse. So this one, most people do it at the graveyard. But I got one teacher. He actually managed to get these dead corpse and bring them into his cave where he meditated. And he used to share this with us, he said, of all the foul things in the world, he said, the founders of all the foul things are the dead corpse. He said, nothing is more foul than that. But it's good training. It's good training. Where it's devoid of consciousness, you see how it decay, and how when it decay, all these very strong foul smell emit from all these corpses. Then when you are with dead corpses, many people have fear because they associate the dead with corpses. So when you have such fear, it's very difficult for you to go to visit places like graveyards or attend the wake of dead people. So the fear will be there. And sometimes you can feel the eerie energy and all this thing. So all this is part and parcel of cultivation when you understand there is nothing, where these are nature's condition. And everything is just the way it is. What is a ghost? It's just consciousness. Those who pass away and take that birth and that rhyme. The hungry ghost or the pietas. All the non-humans and all those things. So when we have the understanding, our mind is different. We do not project. We do not create unnecessary. But we know form and mind is just form and mind. Nothing die. No one die. So all this understanding you must cultivate until very stable. Then you can confront all this. No problem. Okay, we move on. Number 12. Always sit and never lie down. This one is peculiar to Shen Hua's practice. You cannot do it or you don't want to do it. You don't have to follow. They practice sitting up straight, never lie down. If they never lie down, they sleep also. When you cultivate this practice, your rib never touch the mat. In India, there was a venerable Master Xia who throughout his whole life never once lie down. One who sleep in a prone position may develop a need for more and more sleep and never think to get up and cultivate. You always sit when you wake up, you are all ready to begin cultivating and sit in meditation. The practice is a great aid in cultivation. So this one depends on your suitability and understanding. We are like the Buddha said, the four postures can be used for cultivation. Not necessary. You must always be in the sitting posture, never lie down. But these are practice that people take it up. Some people may practice only one or perhaps a few days. Or perhaps a few of these 12 ascetic practices. For example, they may only practice wearing right rope or only practice restricting themselves to 3 ropes and only practice asking for alms, food, or only practice consecutive alms round, or only practice eating one meal a day, or only practice eating a fixed and moderate amount of food, or only practice dwelling in a graveyard, or only practice always sitting and never lie down. Although a very old man, Mahakasapa practiced all 12 ascetic practices in accordance with the Dhamma. Thus, he was foremost in all those who cultivate asceticism. Okay, we stop here. Before I continue, I think I would like to make one announcement. Because Chinese New Year is approaching. So today is Tuesday. So tomorrow, Wednesday, 26th. 27th is Thursday. So we will have our class on 27th Thursday. After that, it's Chinese New Year already. I think we break. And most people will be busy planning their New Year thing and other things. Then you have to buy things. Maybe deliver whatever you want to offer to people. So on this, we need to have enough rest or time for you all to do it. So our class will end on the 27th of January. Then we will break until Chop Gome, 15th of February. Then after that, our class will resume. But in between, if you want to visit each other or what, we can have our arrangement. So at least we have about 2 weeks plus of break so that you can have your New Year activity, celebration, and also develop heedfulness and mindfulness like I always advise you. The New Year is a time where you have gatherings, you have celebration and all these things. So be mindful, be heedful, be sensitive to be a blessing to all and to develop understanding and wisdom. Learn to cultivate noble evil power because such festivals or activities are very conducive for us to practice and cultivate the causes and conditions to help people to be a blessing to all. You can apply noble evil power, develop mindfulness and heedfulness. You learn a lot of things. You develop a lot of understanding. So heedfulness, mindfulness and Dhamma are very useful for us to live life, to understand life. So this is the message that I would like to share with you all before we break for the Chinese New Year break. Then in between, I'm sure a lot of kilometers will find condition and occasion to visit each other. And sometimes also have a small gathering or activity. It's okay, if you want, you'll let me know, then we can have them. But we should avoid major gathering. Otherwise, it will invite unnecessary trouble or problem. I was told this year more relaxed in terms of SOP or what. You can travel interstate, not only in the district. Then you can have your family reunion and also dinners and all those things. Even the rules that they used to apply has been relaxed. But be mindful, be heedful, take care, do not be heedless. Certain type or SOP you must follow, like wear your mask, keep your social distance if you can, and avoid being like carried away or heedless. So all this, hopefully, it can help people. Okay, good. So with that announcement, now we will open up for our second session. Second session is meditation reporting.
Actually, but still, 我经常都在听那个地藏经的讲解。
Oh, I started.
可是那天当我在听的时候，我是一面在听，一面在我做我的 gardening。然后我就有一个很大的，很像 joy 这样 like, you know, I want to share in the class my.
Oh, started 很好啊。
Like 我的 experience with 地藏王菩萨。
Yeah, you got good affinity with 地藏王菩萨 a store bodhisattva.
是，其实在我还没有学佛之前，我的生活是很糟糕的。
Yeah.
而且我做了很多我不应该做的事情。
对。
就是，哎呀，总之就是很糟糕就对了。
对。
So, 当我在 Bradio 那边学佛之后，就是当我学了不久之后，然后我就有产生了一个很惭愧的心啦，说就是因为之前所做的一切是非常非常的不对。然后就是觉得，哎呦，我这样子的人下地狱啊，真的是 no。 就是那个一念的我是肯定会下地狱，就因为那个一念，然后就之后我就有那个感应跟地藏王菩萨，
萨度
都就是follow up by 那个登彼岸的那个 vow 出来，然后就是很多很多的，来我看地藏经的时候，就我跟 Brad 就在 camera reporting 的时候，他好像电脑般的在读那个地藏经这样，
对，
他其实是心在念。 之后就是地藏王的地藏佛期，地藏佛期的时候，其实师父跟我讲，金马伦正雄师父一定是有 announcement 讲那个地藏佛期嘛，然后我没有在意的，其实我也没有想过要去的，可是后来呢，就刚刚地藏佛期要开始的那一天早上，我起来，然后我就第一件事我就去跟 Freddy 讲，我说我要去金马伦佛地藏佛期。Then 我就讲，哈，他就讲你 sure 吗？搭车上去，因为我从来没有搭过车的嘛。对呀，so 我也不懂怎样，就是这样去了佛七，就7天在那边，然后出来，接下来就是我一下山就不能再吃肉了，然后
A lot of things happen.
yes。就是那时候我就问 Brad 就为什么这样，Brad 就说你以后就会明白。
一定
然
的。
后你对，因为那天我在听地藏经的时候，我是 a lot of 感恩，因为地藏王菩萨一直盖我啊，一直盖我，我感到哇，他真的是慈悲大愿，也哇，so much，I was so much joy then。这一切的发生，哎呦，My God，就是，这是不可思议，就对了，不是？我的 encounter with 地藏王菩萨，我只是觉得，就比方说，我的那个意念，说那个
对，
女的，她就慈悲到马上要渡我们出来，所以哇，我感觉到非常的。感恩他，而且接下来我就是想要改拉米达也要 build up 这个叫 affinity with 地藏王菩
第三
萨，
王菩萨
对，然后我就给了一个想法说，我要请一尊地藏王菩萨去 Brazil 那边，
这
然
三
后
年来了，拿过来哟、
对，而其实不是 Brazil 我想要讲的是。我只是那个一个想法，然后当我 landed in China，那个 Freddy 的 cousin 就拿着一个 box 在那边等等我，然后他就给我说送给你，然后我一打开，我整个人都那个怎样讲，那个 head 全部抖上。
对，好像不相信这样啊，这么巧，
只是对，只是一个这样的一个想法，可是我不敢麻烦他嘛，然后我就没有了，只是就 drop 掉这个想法。我想，哇，可以 condition 到这样，然后，
可以的，你跟那
然后，
个佛菩萨有缘分的时候，有 affinity 的时候，a lot of thing can happen on you
对，其实第一尊的地藏王菩萨，我是跟慧荣去看那个话剧啊，我在那边看到他的那尊佛像，我真的是非常非常的喜欢，非常对我。Then somehow 我就回来去找，然后我就拜托 Freddy 的 cousin，那3天他找到了，3天之后他找到了，然后。找到了之后，又通过一个朋友的赠送送了给我，就是他送了给我，所以其实这3尊的地藏王菩萨，都是那个有缘人去 Nodana 给我的。I was like，哎呦，那天我听地藏经，我真的是觉得，哎，我而且满愿讲你可以分享。多一点，所以我就想到，哎呦，要分享跟大家，就是这一切的发生哦，是佛菩萨比我们有那个发心跟发愿后，他们一直在盖我们，
他们
就
在
是
那
make
边
sure 我们的菩提心不退，一直盖我们，一直在盖我们这样子。 对，然后我就哇，我非常的感恩，哎呀，我就讲，哎呀，我就跟阿松讲 ，Now by 二，我还是要 continue 我的。
呀呀，Sherry， 很好啊，
对，
还有一个earlier on 我们的 spiritual trip， 你应该是有去的，那个是六祖师的那个 trip， 你有去吗？六祖
有
为什么？
有啊有
啊，
有
你记得吗？地上王菩萨 one of the statue at the back towards the end when we were about to go back already then we saw that one then 我们 pay respect because that one very serious then 我小的时候我也跟地上王菩萨 very strong affinity a store bodhisattva in fact 他那本书Somehow I received it. Then when 我读他的愿，哇，真的整个那个慈悲心 and the compassion and the gratitude 真的现起来。Then no matter 你怎样都好，你不如地藏王菩萨。He is so patient.
对。
Avow, he said, not until the hell is empty of hell beings.He vowed not to realize the perfect enlightenment. That's why he wanted to stay down there. And 他们真的在那边念那个地藏经，都度那些 hell being 跟众生。And he did a great job. In fact, so far all the great being, he was the only one of that nature that willing to go down and do all these things. That's why when...你跟我 share 你的 experience at 登彼岸 how when you kneel in front of 地藏王菩萨他的地藏经 arise naturally and the chanting come to you and you can understand it then I really told you that is your affinity then a lot of things will happen then your Cameron Highland on alsoSo I say, finally, when your cultivation progress and you develop the affinity and the connection, you will come to understand all these things. That's why I will 跟你讲就是 to let you have the understanding that later on you will understand why you cannot take the meat and all these things for that period. Because...is actually the 地藏王菩萨的 advice because a lot of people don't understand you don't have the dhamma you don't have the understanding you keep on consuming a lot of what they call meat and all those things you see under the teaching you don't cause to kill or have the intention to kill actually it's nothingBut what they don't understand is you create unnecessary, what they call, I don't call it that type of dhamma affinity, it's the entanglement type of affinity with those beings that are born as animals or flesh for consumption and all those things. But you don't have to worry because these are allowable. So as long as you don't go and like some of these people like to kill and cause suffering and misery and do all those things for profit and all those things. These are major, what they call karmic negativity. But if it's just the normal type ofconsumption with the understanding of the Dhamma and with the what they call compassion. That's why even when you order fish or whatever, if you have the understanding, you should actually arise the compassion and wish for the blessings of this whatever fish. May the blessing of the Triple Gem be with you after your immediate passing away.For me, you know, I have that vow to take them all across if they rice as food for me. Then when you have all this understanding, you go to market, you see, you know, you will send your blessing. You will send your whatever metta and all those things. Then all this will move into the nature's law. Then not only you don't get yourself entangled, you develop Dhamma understanding out of it, and you play your part to help all these so-called creatures. But a lot of people cannot understand. That's why it's not easy. Then for certain cultivator or masters that has gone through the long way, they realize how dangerous is it if people without the Dhamma, without the practice and the cultivation, keep on consuming a lot of this meat and other things. That's why Xianhua always caution people. He prefer people to go vegetarian and all things. Then there was somebody who attended the session and asked Xianhua, he said, is it okay if we follow Hui Ning? Is it? 我们吃肉边菜 and all those things. Xianhua's reply was very good. He said, if your cultivation and Kung Fu is like Hui Ning, go ahead, no problem. Is it? If you are not, my advice to you is, he said, don't take so much. Is it? Oh, try your best to avoid. So all this is his understanding. This, they try not to create that type of, I call karmic affinity, that has this potential for negativity. So these are the things that people see. Even Chen Yuan Pao the Chi Ji one also same. He encourages follower what to go vegetarian and all that. But sometimes you have to understand, it's not what you eat that make you pure or unpure. It's your mind, your mental intention, your understanding. So you have good mind, you have the Dhamma, you take care of the mind, karma. So all these things will be no problem, because understanding is the one that will liberate your mind and prevent you from falling into all those negativity of mind states. Then like you say, when you have faith, when you have affinity, when you have the understanding, the condition, things will happen, even manifest, like the images and all, say, Tisangwang, what they call the Rupang came to you and all those things. And people make it a point to make offering to you, because this is their affinity with you, their Parami, so they can receive this. And it will be a blessing. So likewise, like I used to share with Kanyamitas, you look at the images all in my house. The Buddha, the Kuan Yin, especially Kuan Yin. Then also the Amitabha Buddha housing. They come by themselves. I never buy them, except the Pusian one, which I bought for my wife. Because of the affinity when we were at this Pusen's way place, Amazon. The rest all come by itself. Meant to be will be your Thursday class, the Rupang come by itself. Where it seems those things up there, they know. And they created the condition for it. That's why Brother Lim later on told me, he said, he brought me in to have a look. He said, you like this Rupang. So immediately my nature knew, because I also received some form of message that the Thursday class need this type of Rupang, especially the one either granite or marble, where the crystal can store this wisdom energy. Even this Kuan Yin, the wood and all, they can store wisdom energy. That's why I accepted it. And later on, it came. That's why my Tuesday class, they all appear. Then even the relics, they came by themselves. So my nature doesn't really like to buy all this stuff, thing, no, unless there is condition, but I just let things be. But strangely, things happen, manifest, and it just unfold, and the thing come, and when they come, you also surprise. Because one of the Buddha Rupa, I remember, when I was in China on the spiritual trip, I received a WhatsApp. They said, Bradil, this image is coming to your house. Huh? I didn't even know from who. But he said, everything shipped. Then when I come back, he will deliver to my house. And really, delivered to my house. That was the first one, the big one. Then after that, the Kuan Yin also came in a miraculous way. So then the Kuan Yin, especially the wooden one, it was at this, what they call Chempaka. Somebody donated. Then because they have no use of that thing, and it was donated, and nobody won when it was sent there. Then Brother Jared, he knew I had great affinity Kuan Yin. Suddenly, he brought it over with the car and told me, Brother, I think this one, you will like it. I said, what it is? He said, come, I take you to my car. Then I saw that wooden Kuan Yin, the solid. Then straight away, I knew, I rejoined, I said, it to you. And then it was delivered. So a lot of these things, they can just manifest and happen. So that is to keep us having the understanding, the faith, that Dhamma is such, meant to be, will be, when conditions and causes are there, things unfold, manifest. So all this, as you go through the cultivation, the practice, you will see and witness more and more and more and more of all this. So sadhu to you, Alicia. Good help. We continue.
Sadhu, Brother Dio. 其实那个地藏王菩萨盖我吃素 的那几年 其实是一个 blessing， 因为 其实当时我的 stomach 我不是 go through
对对对对
polyp 的，
对，
之后吃了素之后 那个 polyp 就没有了。
沙丢，
所以这一切的一切 很多的感恩， 所以 因为真的是他在一直在盖我， 一直在 做得我的初心不退，
一直立我，
一直盖我，
这个菩萨道。 对对对，
那天我听了他的一个什么之后， 我就 哇， 很多的感慨， 应该讲， 很多的 reflection on， 哇， 这一切的一路一路的走过来， 感恩他， 感恩Brother Tio， 还有感恩Kayamita， 所有的一切的分享， 有他们的guidance， 我真的是感到非常非常的幸运， 因为
That's why your faith will also become very strong.
Yes， 因为佛法都已经这么难闻， 而且我能够 我能够持哦， 是非常的非常的难，
对， 对，
对， 所以 真的是不懂要讲什么， 不然就不用紧，
You just whatever that come to you，
yeah,
你的 gratitude， because of that gratitude it manifests and all this will come out。 That's why 你懂得怎样去 reflect， 去 contemplate， then you recall back all these things cannot happen by chance. It's like showing it to you that is meant to be your affinity with Tisa Wang Pusa and all the Triple Gem, the cultivation. Like you say, it's meant to guide you, to let you develop this practice and cultivation with more faith, understanding. And it also gives rise to, like you say, that both he mind resolute that will not deteriorate. Because when you start to see all this happening, blessing in this guy and meant to be, and how compassionate these great beings' nature are, how they come and actually guide us, bless us. So all these are very beautiful. Sadhu.
因为地藏经里面有讲，因为佛陀临终托孤，就是把我们这些也所有的众生交托给地藏王菩萨，
对，
所以哇，我听了之后，他是又慈悲又大愿，
yeah.
又大智，还有很多很多的，所以我
对。
Joy of full of gratitude，
对，
能够跟他有结下这样子的 affinity， 我不懂几多是修来的福 ，gratitude， 还有和大家的 affinity， 我真的是不懂几是修来的福，所以要感恩大家，
感恩菩萨，deep gratitude，
是的 ，gratitude，
对，
真的是非常非常的，从一个。可以说是 从一个真的讲难听，就是从一个彻底的很糟糕的情况之下能够把我带出来，我真的是
对。
还有 Bradio 记得我去 Bradio 的 class，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
我就看到了光，然后我就
yeah, 对，
然后慢慢的去跟着 Bradio 一次这样子一次走过来。Of course， 我的学习就比较慢了一点，可能。
对了，你追随安佛的 talk， 那个时候你好像坐火车都在听，坐飞机都在听，坐 bus 都在听，哇，那一段啊，你真的学很快啊。哦，你听到啊，虽然都怕你，哦，你说 at least you'll be chasing me if I don't set out by midnight， so 他也很高兴啊，能够度那些 serious one， this is meant to be like， 好像我感应到 the first day you come in， I can sense you have this karmic past very strong coming suffering, misery, your fear, your depressive mind state and all those things. Then 你不敢 even 提头起来看我们 or 听。But when my nature start to share, I sense something, then I share the first number two, second number two. Wow, I can see the joy in you. Suddenly I saw your joy, your smile.Even though a short moment, but I can sense you have affinity. Otherwise, it won't happen. Then after that, you keep on coming. You keep on coming. Then a lot of things starts to change. It's meant to be because of that affinity. You just look at this life. You will know.How you establish affinity with my nature, my wife, and all kayamitas. Because these are the causes and conditions that we have in the past, but you may not recall. Then when this life comes, because your coming past is, you have to go through this type of suffering and misery to have the causes and conditions to look for truth, look for Dhamma, then only we can meet.It's like a lot of other kayamita is the same. Even for Gumoy's case, it's the same. Something has to happen. But her life was good. Not like yours, really chow kao, like you say. Upside down. Well, that time, when you are caught in delusion, ignorant, paying back the coming debt and all those things, you have to go through all this. Because the...family conditioning, your brother, sister, all the entanglement, including your parent, you have to go through, and you have to maybe repay a lot of all those so-called karmic debt. then only later on, after you have the condition, you start to connect back. Then when you connect back, because of your affinity with all these great beings, like Tisawang Pusa, Guan Yin Pusa, Pho Pusa, all this actually link you back very fast. Then when your faith come back to you, and your understanding come back to you, you move very fast. Dhamma is not that. Different people different. Like Ekatole also same, went through depression. Then only he connect. When the moment he connect, he came out of it, he understand what this thing is. Then he don't have to go through the suffering anymore. So like your case, you know how to develop the Noble Eightfold Path, cultivate the Dhamma in accordance with understanding and gratitude, faith, joy, and understanding. So all this will unfold. That's why this is beautiful Dhamma, and this type of sharing can give people a lot of faith, a lot of understanding. Like you say, from such complicated, or they call what, zhao gao the situation. Zhao gao in English is what? A very disastrous type of background. And yet, can turn around and become so beautiful. So, Dhamma is like that. Even you look at Angulimala, he killed 999. And yet, when he met the Buddha, where he decided to take refuge and become monk, he also paid through his karmic. People stoned him, cursed him, do a lot of abuse to him. But finally, he became Arahant. So Dhamma is, in a way, difficult to comprehend unless you are a cultivator. If you are not a cultivator, you will think, "Ayo, such a terrible person, kill so many, cause so much fear, harm, and all things." And yet he can become an Arahant that life. So it's like mind-boggling. But yeah, that is what karmic affinity and conditionings are. Well, the Buddha knew Sakyamuni that it's time to actually help him and turn him back to the right way and create the causes and conditions for him to awaken. He must have done certain very strong good karmic thing from the past for him to have such condition. So all this are the marvel of Dhamma. That's why Dhamma is very wonderful, very amazing, because there is so much possibility. And people can never understand or fathom all this unless you are the cultivator of the way, who have this experience and understanding, and you can see it unfolding. So these are very beautiful sharing and understanding. Very good, Alicia. Sadhu.
Sadhu, brother, too. 还有就是那个 Cameron 的鱼，你记得吗？
Yeah, yeah.
是那个，我也觉得很 amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
一定是菩萨的。对，
yeah. Meant to be, that's why. Show it to you. That's why when you report to me at the retreat, I told you, sadhu. So, exactly, because like that fish, no reason from that pond, suddenly 跳起来, and landed on the land. Then, it show it to you, you already out of the suffering world, the pond, already, and yet, it jump back again. So it's telling you at that time, you already, you have the Dhamma, you understand already, you want to jump back and go back to the old way. That's why you are full of joy, gratitude, and understanding at that time. That's why you came and report. And I remember that was your early years. I think that time you were at the retreat for only 2 years or one. I forgot already about that. Not that long. Then initially, I remember you cannot attend because of your gastric and all those things. I remember when you tried to attend my retreat, you were okay. But later on, when Achalo's retreat, you cannot. You have to go home because of the gastric only. Then finally, everything fall into place. Then the fish, from the fish fall on. After that, you progress. You become very different. Yeah, that one is the most amazing. Sadhu.
Yeah, 所以 Bradio, 所以我 come to understand, 如果我们有那个愿，还有那个真的是发心去行。
对，嗯，是菩萨们一定会在guide我们。 Yeah.
而且没有菩萨的 guidance, 我们很多时候是做
very difficult, 做不到的。嗯，对，所以我只是想借着这个机会跟大家分享一下，因为。
真的是要赞叹佛菩萨，他们的真的太过的慈悲。对，因为我往我自己身上一看，这么好像我说的这么糟糕的一个我，他们都愿意这样慈悲的在盖我，来度我，然后哇，我。 其实我也是应该死了几次的啦，因为也是菩萨在救了我的。对对对对。Otherwise，我也是不在这里了。所以我那天听了，哇，我 was like，哎呦，原来这么做的一切的一切，可以让我 develop 这么多的 understanding。所以我就在想在这里跟大家分享，so that。 感恩大家，感恩佛菩萨，感恩所有的一切万物啊！阿弥陀佛，阿弥陀佛，
Let us rejoice, sadhu, 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 this is beautiful. So all this are something that can allow Kayamita to have more faith. More what they call resolve to go this way. Because you can see it's possible no matter how chaotic your condition may be. But when you have affinity with great beings, that's why I say must cultivate affinity with great beings for Pusa and seek their blessing, protection and guidance. And this is what you need. And they are very compassionate, like Alicia experienced. No matter how chaotic your condition may be, they are willing to help you if you show your faith, your gratitude, and your ability to go this way and persevere. So all these are the true manifestation of possibility of great cultivation. Sometimes from very humble beginning, you become like unbelievable. How can all these things happen? Like Alicia also go through. But we have to understand all Samasambuddha, the great being, four Buddha, they also started as deluded Putujana living beings. From there, they slowly develop affinity, cultivation, perfection, and become what they are. So from humble beginning, we can become very unique, very special. That's why when my nature look back, although I know my nature is different, but I know it has gone through a long, long way of cultivation, perseverance, sacrifice, gratitude, joy. All these are there. Otherwise, your nature cannot be what you are today. We all start from humble beginning, when we know nothing. And because the great beings are so compassionate, so full of love, compassion, and gratitude, and they are so willing to sacrifice. They make such heavy vows and create a causes and condition was to have affinity with them and the triple gem. Then the collective consciousness move. That's how all this falls into place. Then you just need to have faith, sincerity, and persevere. Then no problem at all, no issue at all. So accord and flow with this understanding, then the way is there. So only treating faith, sincerity, and perseverance, then make power, cultivate affinity. Yeah. So when you persevere, the Dhamma will unfold and everything will fall into place. Mm. So this is beautiful. So Alicia, you want to nominate somebody else? We still have time. And Vincent and the wife, really, they are very like, I think there is something behind that condition them to come and do it. I was teaching meditation at Champaka at that time. So that time I don't know who Vincent is and the wife. But they attend my class very regular. Then after many months, they suddenly approached me after the class. They said, Brother Teo, Brother Teo. Then they saw a lot of people come and see me all recover. Oh, then develop the understanding. Oh, then they say, hey, they got one very close friend. They say, they want to help you. He said, can we bring you? I say, it depends if she's willing to come. No problem. Why not? Then she said, but you seems to have very problematic condition. I say, it's okay. No problem. She's willing to come. Let her come. Then I say, a better place is the Tuesday class, my house. So because of that, after he spoke to me, I think he conveyed the message. That's why when you receive the message, your nature will know meant to be will be. That's why you're willing to find out whether you have affinity with my nature or not. That's why you came. And the very first night, oh, that was historic. My nature almost can sense. Then immediately everything fall into place. That's why I knew you will recover. And really, after that, so amazing. Mm. Then later on, when you recover, you become so different. You change your entire approach and outlook of life. After you understand this teaching, you have so much joy because you like can see the light at the end of the tunnel. That in the past, why you get yourself so entangled and miserable, 16 years of depression, is because you don't have this teaching. You don't understand this teaching. Then you start to cultivate it. You start to reverse all this wrong view, wrong thought, wrong action, everything, and purify yourself and straighten your view and develop wholesomeness through Noble Eightfold Path. The Four Noble Truths help so much, especially the first two Noble Truths. When I relate the first Noble Truth and second Noble Truth, it's like no need to explain much to you. You experience them inside out because of that 16 years of misery, suffering. So you can see all the related teaching. And from there, when Dhamma starts to unfold, you actually recover. Your life become better, your health improve, and many things. Then your affinity with the great beings. Initially, it was a bit tough, but you persevere. That's why you chase after Suyana talk, you attend retreat and do a lot of things until your Philippine friend Teddy also was so surprised that he wants to know what happened to you. Then you told him about me and he told you all he wants to meet up with me. And when he met up with me, he was so full of joy, happy. And he's a Christian and we talk very well. Then after he had the understanding, he said, you are wonderful, is it? You can do such amazing things. Then later on, when you arranged that trip for my wife and me to go to Philippines, that was the best. And he took us around so well. And we had a great time. That was the first trip to Philippines, but it was beautiful. That experience was really good. Then, of course, also Macau, your friend, Ai, you also helped her. And the husband too, Leong Sang. So all these are your kindness, your compassion. Where you, after you recover, you want to help them. Then even Alicia, Elsie, sorry, not Alicia, Elsie, you also wanted to help her back because she was the one that helped you go through the depression at that time, a good listener. So all this fall into place. Then many other things. Then Freddy also can see. That's why Freddy also have a lot of joy. Then your life, your business, everything turned around. And Dhamma was wonderful. That's why all this is what the Dhamma is capable of. So when you have the Dhamma, your life transform, you become very different. So these are amazing things that can happen when you have faith, when you have the sincerity, the perseverance to really cultivate and to go this way. So sadhu, very good. So let us really rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu.
Brother Tio,
还有我想感恩的就是
Freddy 跟我的家人，因为他们都很，就是他们很 support 我啦 in any way 啦。
Sadhu, 很好。
还有就是实际的证严法师，因为在我 depression 的时候，我就是看那个静思语。他帮了我很多，
对，就是
他就是在里面，我每天都在读静思语的时候，然后我在 reflect 的时候，我就心里面就没有这么的难过，所以我要感恩证严法师。
那个静思语 very helpful, help a lot of people.
对。So that's all for my sharing, Bratio. 感恩，
谢谢，感恩。
阿弥陀佛，
阿弥陀佛 ，Thank you.
Bratio.
沙丢，要过年了啊，讲几句话。
Bratio 今天晚上的这个 Alicia 的一个 sharing 是 full of the gratitude.
Yeah.
感恩，感恩的一个 sections.
Yeah.
这个 gratitude 是一个很好的一个 I mean 一个 virtue 一种 virtue 来就是给我们每一个人来很 touching 啊，我也是听到，我觉得说新的一年要到了，然后我们用我们以这个感恩的心来感谢佛菩萨。感谢Virgil, 感谢 Om Kalyanamita, 感谢整个的 condition 能够让我们在一起，能够这个 wonderful 的这个 Dharma, 很 touching 啊。
Then 我们可以 apply the Dharma to help people, to be a blessing to all. And one big Kayamita family can actually bring about a lot of good, beautiful condition for Dharma to flow.That's why this Chinese New Year, a lot of you all, if you have the condition, you can actually be a blessing to all, to many. first to your own family members, your siblings, your parents if they are still around, and also whoever they have affinity with us. Then we develop the understanding, the joy, and wherever we have condition to help, we help. And like you say, the expression of gratitude and joy for what has been possible, like from humble beginning, like very complicated, chaotic, but suddenly over a matter of few years, things become so different. Like Alicia, a lot of gratitude, a lot of joy, that from such chaotic, miserable condition, heedless until no word can describe it, yet can turn around so beautifully. True, very true. Sadhu, some.
Yeah.
还有什么?
应该是。 Bharati其实我有一些那个 experience 想要 share, maybe 拜师。
对,拜师,可以,可以, 谢谢。 So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.